You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You know what I mean? I can't say it in public. Obviously.
Welcome back to the final hour of tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool, my friends. I am not James Edwards. Perhaps that's not a good thing in your opinion. I am Winston Smith. I'm very happy to be here. Not the least of which, it's been a long time since I've been on the program, but also because we have a very important guest with us tonight. And he's very important because his cause is very important. And I want to give him as much time as possible, so let's get right to it. My guest tonight is Mr. Simon Rosch, and he's a spokesman for the Foodlunders. Simon, welcome to the Political Cesspool Radio Program.
Good evening, and thank you very much.
The first thing I want to make sure of is that I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I tried to confirm this with Sam during the break, but am I pronouncing your name correctly, and am I pronouncing Foodlunders correctly?
You're pronouncing my name correctly. Rosch is, strictly speaking, the correct pronunciation. Saitlanders is a little bit different. It's the way I say it, Saitlanders, but it's not an easy sound to mimic, I think, for most English speakers. So it's okay if you don't say it right.
Okay, my transcriptionist is telling me to pronounce it as though it's spelled Saitlanders.
Saitlanders is if you can do a oi like that, then you're on your way.
I think it's best if we just leave it at that.
No problem.
Okay. All right, let me ask you this. Would I be correct in saying that Saitlanders is not so much an organization or an agency, but is rather a plan or a protocol?
Yes, that is, strictly speaking, correct. We often talk about members and organization and what have you, just purely for the sake of ease. But you are correct. Actually, we are a plan constituted under Protocols 1 and 2, additional to the Geneva Conventions. That's, strictly speaking, correct.
All right. Why is there a need for Saitlanders?
Well, we are a South African organization. We're a plan, as we've agreed, but I'll just use the word organization for convenience sake. We're a South African organization devoted to the protection of non-combatant civilians in the event of a civil war in South Africa. We believe that a civil war is approaching, and so we've followed international law to constitute the organization, which the international law, that is to say Protocols 1 and 2, additional to the Geneva Conventions, makes specific provision for civilian non-combatants, what they call non-parties to a conflict, to gather together and claim the protection of international law in the event of an armed conflict in which their welfare is threatened. So we believe that a civil war is emerging, and we're taking steps nearer to it every day. We believe that if there is a civil war, it will most certainly be along racial lines. And since, particularly since the 7th of November last year, we believe that we're on the cusp of the civil war, because on the 7th of November last year, one of our leading politicians said at a gathering in the town of Newcastle in the north of the province of KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa, he said at a gathering of his supporters, a few thousand people, excuse me, I'm not calling for the slaughter of all whites yet. And as one of the traditional kings of South Africa, one of the black kings, whom I know very well, said to me, in your culture, that could mean many, many things. In our culture, it means one thing. It means that at some point, I'm going to call upon you to slaughter the whites. Get ready, but don't start until I tell you to do so. And this king illustrated his point to me by reminding me of the events that happened in 2014 when the Zulu king, not the king to whom I was chatting, when the king of the Zulus made the statement that the foreign blacks, black people from Africa, illegal migrants in South Africa, that they should pack their bags and go. And within a few hours, massive attacks happened against those blacks. In other words, Zulus and others attacked foreign black people in South Africa, and a few hundred were killed. And this king that was talking to me said, when in our culture you hear a leader say something like that, these foreigners from Malawi and the Congo and Nigeria and Cameroon and wherever else, these people should pack their bags and go. If you are loyal to the person who says that, the king or the prince or whoever, then it is in our culture your responsibility to react and to respond, to get up off your backside and to go and thrash those people and chase them away. So with that as a sort of reference point to you, sir, perhaps you can begin to get an appreciation of just one or two of the factors that make us believe that trouble is coming and soon.
Given from what you said that according to these protocols of the Geneva Convention, non-combatants, in this case, white Protestant South Africans, have the right to gather someplace, and they will be under protection of international law because they're non-combatants. Given the rabid, bestial hatred that Africans, black Africans, have against white South Africans, how can you think you will be protected?
Well, we don't necessarily believe, naively, as you're implying rightly, that we will receive the protection of the United Nations or the USA or whoever else. But if we had not approached this problem in this way, then we would have had no legal right to found an organization at all. So we wouldn't have a legal right to have gatherings, meetings, training sessions, and what have you. Because in South African law, there is no facility at all for any group to be exclusively white. There are many exclusively black groups, for example, the Black Management Forum and the Black Accountants Society and the Black Economists Association and so on and so forth. But whites may not have an exclusively white group. The only way that we could do it was by using international law, which provides for identifiable groups, whether it be the Jews of the Warsaw ghettos in the 1940s or the Tutsis in the Rwanda genocide or Croats in the Yugoslavian breakup. Those identifiable groups were entitled, well, of course, the Geneva Conventions came after World War II, but in theory, that's how it applies. So that was the only way that we could sound
good. We're going to a break right now. Folks, stick around for the next segment.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool. I'm Winston Smith, and I'm talking with Simon Roche of the Sidelanders organization. And I have to say, Simon, this is a fascinating conversation we're having. It's fascinating to me, and I hope we're going to get into some more red meat type things as we go. I know you have a lot to say. Would you finish your thought that you were explaining when I so rudely interrupted?
Yes. My point was that you're correct to sort of imply that perhaps this has no benefit if people. If we don't receive the support of the international community in the event of a civil war. However, by doing things this way, by founding this group ostensibly under international law, and indeed under international law, it gives us the right to make an exclusively white group, not for the sake of being exclusive, and this is something that people just struggle to understand. We are introspective, inward-looking. We're no more exclusive than the man who sends his children to a fancy school and pays no contribution towards his neighbor's children's school fees. It's not about excluding, it's about including, being inclusive of our people, the people who we believe are liable to be threatened in the event of a conflict. And secondly, it gives us a moral and a legal high ground. Even if we don't get the support of the United Nations or any other international entity in the event of an armed conflict along racial lines such as we expect, we will nevertheless have a moral and a legal high ground which may turn out to be very valuable in the fullness of time. We don't know. It may be not worth the paper it's written on, so to speak, or the breath that it's spoken with, as it were. But then again, having it is better than not ever having had it, that moral and legal high ground.
Let me ask you this. How do South Africans, our white cousins over there, do they view white Americans? What I mean is this. It galls me to no end that our government will do everything to help non-white peoples in other countries, but will do absolutely nothing to help white people in other countries. Do your do your brethren hold us in any sort of contempt?
Well, I think, you know, it's the classic sort of syndrome of being an outsider, watching somebody else's marriage, and in a way, knowing better than the two parties to the marriage why the marriage is failing. And, the, you know, as a remote entity, as a non-United States citizen, I, like many of my compatriots, have an opinion about the United States because I've seen the United States go from one of the world's most conservative Christian societies to one of the world's most liberal societies. And, of course, we also watched as the United States supported us very, very much when we were fighting nine countries. It's a little-known thing. But we fought nine countries for something like 18 years solidly, and the United States helped us a lot. And then overnight, kind of dumped us. So many people have a cynical view about the United States. However, there are many of us who also have a see another side to the coin, let's say. So whatever we may think, we also know that there's more to the story in the sense that our very dour, Calvinistic, old-fashioned, orthodox with a small o, religion or faith is largely based on the Old Testament. And therefore, we recognize features in other peoples like ourselves, which are very, very important. So, for example, some of our elders will tell you that the prophecies, which we can speak about just now, the prophecies that we believe in and which are coming true practically daily, perhaps the most immaculate set of prophecies in the modern history of the world, that those prophecies include extensive references to the United States, the implication being that in the end, the United States might end up being a very important ally for us as a particular tribe whose origins go back thousands and thousands of years. That's our belief.
Well, I'm telling you, as I said, it galls me to no end the way our government is ignoring the plight of white South Africans, and it wouldn't surprise me nor bother me if y'all just you were mad as hell at us. You have every right to be. On that line, let me ask you this. If how can people here help out? What can we do?
Well, the purpose of our trip to the USA is to raise funds. We believe that this war is going to begin soon, and that's based on two things. First of all, the prophecies to which I alluded, and secondly, the events that are happening in South Africa right now. Clearly, the state is falling apart, and there are many, many complaints against whites from the most senior levels of government. You know that we have a president who regularly sings a song which goes, Bulala Mabunu, which means kill the Boers. And Boers is the word for farmers. And the white South Africans are the farmers of the country. So murder the farmers. He also sings a song called Bring Me My Machine Gun, which refers to killing whites. The brother of the former president, Thabo Mbeki's brother, Mweletsi, has said that we are standing on the cusp of a civil war in this country. Others have said similar things. The point being that we believe that we have, historically speaking, a last opportunity to prepare ourselves, a last opportunity. And therefore, we've come to the United States in the hope of raising funds for civilian non-combatant vital necessities. That is to say, not arms and armor or anything like that, but dieseline and water purification facilities, field hospitals, medical consumables, food and seed, because obviously we won't be able to use Monsanto seed. It'll not breed true to type, as they say. We'll be able to use it once, and then we will have no food in the country, none whatsoever for our people. So the purpose is to raise funds, and if there are people who are willing to give, we'd be deeply, deeply grateful for any contribution, no matter how small, We're not mercenary about this. We know that it's in the hands of the Lord. And if we don't raise the money that we had hoped to do in the United States, then so be it. We will carry on as we have to do and face our fate, quite frankly.
On your tour in the United States, where have you been so far, and how have you and your message been received?
We've been received extremely well. We began in Orlando, Florida, and then we went to Daytona. From there, we went to Alabama briefly, then Louisiana, then we spent a short while in Texas. From there, we went to Phoenix, Arizona, and met with some lovely, generous, kind, good people. We then went to San Francisco to meet an Oscar-winning filmmaker, whose name I won't mention, but who is interested in doing a full-length feature film on the events happening in South Africa, although she told us when we met with her that events are happening so quickly in South Africa that she doesn't think she'll get the chance to do the feature film, and she intends going out to South Africa in May, if I recall correctly, and then remaining there and sending out a series of shorts, into the world just to expose what's happening. You know, the murder of the farmers and, of course, the murder of the white people has now reached over 74,000. And in the first 14 days of February,
okay,
this
Simon,
year...
Simon, you have to hold that thought. We're going to a break, so hold okay. that thought. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from Liberty News Daily, I'm Dennis Daly. The Obama administration had put a lid on the sale of F-16 fighters to Bahrain due to its dictatorship's ruthless suppression of Shiites. The hold was more symbolic than real, we understand, to placate human rights activists. The Obama administration continued to use Bahrain as home for the Navy's Fifth Fleet in the region, and to also use it as a conduit for arms and funds to Syrian jihadists and those who supported the U.S. in the area. Dr. Evelyn Farkas, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Ukraine, Eurasia, has given an interview. It was on MSNBC. She talked about needing to preserve the intelligence the Obama administration had on the Trump team's association with the Russians. Now, Farkas now works as a senior advisor for the Atlantic Council, which promotes the European-U.S. globalist agenda. Here's what she told MSNBC, and I'll quote, "I was urging my colleagues and people on Capitol Hill to get as much of this information as they could before President Obama left the administration, because I feared that somehow the information would disappear or would be hidden away in the bureaucracy, that is, by the Trump folks. If they found out how much we knew, what we knew about Trump and other staff dealings with the Russians, they would try to compromise their sources." Here's an invitation for you to consider Audio Compass for sporting events, live remotes, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. For more information, go to audiocompass.com. With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to tonight's broadcast of the Political Festival radio program. I'm Winston Smith, and I'm talking with Simon Rosch of Sidelanders. I'm still sure I'm not saying that correctly, but, you know, I do the best I can. I have to tell you, when we do our year in review show, our anniversary show, James always asked me what my most memorable interviews were, and this is going to be one of them. This is a fascinating and terrifying interview, if I can say so, and it has touched me, and I intend to help out as much as I can. So on that thought, Simon, we were talking about what people could do to help the organization, and you mentioned a filmmaker who is going to do what she can. And what about a website? Where can people go to? Can people contribute through your website?
Yes, yes, they can. Our website is, there's no www, so leave out the www and just type in Sidelanders.org, and I'll spell that. It's Sierra, Uniform, Indigo, Delta, Lima, Alpha, November, Delta, Echo, Romeo, Sierra.org. Sidelanders.org. There's a little bit of wind where I'm standing, and I hope that you're hearing what I'm saying. If people are interested in donating, they can go to the bottom right-hand corner of the home page, and they'll see a PayPal opportunity there. Alternatively, if they are concerned about funds, in other words, if somebody wants to donate a meaningful, large amount of money, God willing, they may email me directly, and I can provide them with the details of the legal trust into which the money goes and the two independent audit processes, completely uncontrolled by us, through which any funds go if they are, you know, intent on donating a sum of money that causes them to be very prudent. And my email address is hkhotelkilo@sidelanders.co.za, or ZA as you would say. HK@sidelanders, that's SUIDELANDERS.co.ZA. And I can provide them with any information that they might wish for audit purposes or tax purposes, with the greatest of pleasure.
I'd also like to tell our listeners that we have the link to Sidelanders' website on the Political Cesspool website. So you can go there, and it'll take you right to the website. And folks, I do encourage you to consider giving regularly to this organization, because they are receiving no help from our government, and they should be receiving help from our government, if anybody should be receiving help from our government. But, you know, they're white people, just like white people in America, and our government doesn't really have that much concern for them.
Yeah, I beg your pardon. Yes, carry on. Sorry.
Okay. Can you give us sort of an audio before and after picture of South Africa since that country became democratic?
Yes. you know, we are not a pro-apartheid party. Or entity, let me say, for a number of reasons. In fact, we are not even pro an independent white homeland, for the simple reason that it was never put on the table during the negotiations towards democracy, the African National Congress, Nelson Mandela, and so on. By our own people, our own leaders betrayed us. And that's a clear thing, and it came out later on that there was a heavy Masonic influence. One general wrote an extensive autobiography in which he described that in quite a lot of detail. And so we were sold out. Well and good. All right. Now we move on. But I just want to be clear to you and to your listeners who may be a little bit baffled by this thing, because many people say, well, why don't you leave, or why don't you ask for a homeland, or what have you. So with that in mind, that background reference point, I'll answer your question directly. South Africa was once one of the most conservative law-abiding countries in the world. For example, all abortion in South Africa was utterly outlawed. End of story. Obviously, exceptions were made in instances where women were raped and so on. But by and large, it was a completely illegal thing. All gambling was illegal until 1994. And indeed, our government, when it was not hijacked by outside forces, refused to permit television. We only got television in South Africa in 1976, if I'm not mistaken, 76, because government believed that it was an insidious vector of values that were inconsistent with our country. And of course, I can tell you that as a child, watching television programs imported from the rest of the world, we were always quite astonished at the insolence of the children and the language used by adults. It was a whole different set of values. We had, our society is what was known as a Christian national society. We had Christian national education, for example. So the society was very conservative and based largely on Old Testament values. Now, of course, we have what the African National Congress and liberals, many white liberals, tout as the world's most liberal constitution. So we've gone from the one end of the spectrum to the other practically overnight. We are now the footstool of Satan, in as much as children can get abortions without their parents even knowing about it. There's a story of one black girl who was at the age of 13 had 8 abortions in years. And that gives you in every other way we are an extremely liberal society. So things have deteriorated very, very sadly, and along with those social structures, there has been a deterioration in the behavior of people. We now have amongst the highest rates of rape in the world. We are known as the rape capital of the world. Our rates of murder are astonishing. As a matter of interest to you, statistically speaking, you have a greater chance of being murdered as a South African, white South African farmer than you do of being killed as a United States soldier in Iraq or Afghanistan. And in fact, you have a more than double chance, it's twice as good a chance, of being murdered as a white South African farmer than of being killed as a South African policeman. And our police have amongst the highest murder rates in the world. So you can see for yourself, without me giving too many more examples, although I have, of course, many, many more to share, if you wish, you can see the principles in that.
Now, given the state of South Africa today, is there anyone who is being blamed for it? I mean, they threw off apartheid, and it was an orderly society. People were well-fed. And now South Africa is a hellhole. I hope you pardon my language, but yes. we know what it's like. Who is being blamed for this?
Well, we are being blamed for it. For example, on the, if I'm not mistaken, the 6th of January 2015, it was either the 5th, 6th, or 7th of January 2015, our president gave a speech in which he said that all of the country's problems can be traced back to our arrival on the 6th of April, 1652. And that's just one that's just one example. There are dozens of other examples where we have explicitly been blamed for everything that has transpired. It is what is known as the legacy of apartheid. So if murder is a legacy of apartheid, rape is a legacy of apartheid. The corruption in the government is a legacy of apartheid. And this is what the government says, literally, I'm quoting verbatim. There's nothing, you know, any one of your listeners can go and look it up for themselves. The government says that every ill in South Africa is a legacy of apartheid. And if it was not for apartheid, South Africa would be an idyllic state. And of course, as I said to you a minute ago, more recently, the president has begun saying that...
Simon, I need you to hold that thought for a minute. We got to go to a break.
Okay.
Be right back.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
That's the TV broadcast of the Political Festival radio program, my friends. I'm Winston Smith. I'm talking with Simon Rush about his organization, Sidelanders. And I understand we have someone else on the phone. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, old friend. Scoop. Hello, Winston.
Go ahead, caller.
Winston, it's Scoop Stanton.
Oh, hi, Scoop.
Hello?
I'm here.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, Winston?
Pretty well. I have a very fascinating interview going on.
Right. Yeah, as you know, one of our other co-workers, Jim Lancia, he's trying to become the ambassador to South Africa for the United States. So he's very aware of the problems and issues of South Africa. But, of course, he's a political cesspool of his own.
Hello.
Scoop, you're breaking up badly.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm gonna train in D.C. But anyways, I have very big news this 1st of April. The political cesspool has a brand new staff member that's coming on really shortly. He's going to be our Hollywood correspondent. He is a living legend in the world of entertainment industry. He's been in numerous movies and television shows, but yours truly, Scoop Stanton, is proud to announce that our newest, latest political cesspool staff member is none other than one Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore?
Yep. Pauly Shore, who's started his own TV show on Music Television Network. He was also in blockbusters movies such as Encino Man, Son-in-Law, In the Army Now, will be a great addition to the political cesspool family. He needed to build his own studio, so he spent $50,000 using his own broadcast studios out in the Hollywood Hills of California. So, anyways, just want to announce that Pauly Shore is now joining the political cesspool.
Mm-hmm. I suspect there's more to this story than meets the ear.
Yep. Yeah, it's great news on this 1st of April 2017. But anyways, some other real news. There's a movie coming out in the fall, the spring, called Fallen. It's about officers who die in the line of duty. It's being narrated by Michael Chiklis, and yours truly has contacted the production company, so hopefully I can score somebody to come on the show and talk about the movie and score tickets, because when it broadcasts here in D.C. the 15th of May during Police Week.
Excellent. Yep. Well, look, I want to get back to the guest.
Okay, Winston, keep up the good work. Great talking to you, and I'll talk to everybody later.
See you later, Scoop. Good to hear from you.
All right. Bye.
Okay, well, sure. I'm sorry for that aside there, Simon. I hope you can forgive it.
No, it's fine. It's all right. Thanks.
All right, we don't have much time left, but I'll just ask a question. South Africa is obviously a hellhole, but what would South Africa look like if the catastrophe envisioned by Sidelanders takes place? What do you expect would happen with our white South African brothers?
Well, you know, it's perhaps with so little time left, it'll be difficult to say this in a manner which is persuasive or convincing for your many listeners, because there's so much background to it. So what I can say is this: if your listeners are interested in attending one of our presentations, we can give a more detailed insight into our reasoning and how we think and why we think things will happen in a certain way. It's not merely fatalistic or melodramatic or what have you. There are sound, intelligent reasons why we have adopted certain positions. And one of those is that we believe that we will be practically wiped out. We don't have the attitude that you know, we're going to face the bad guys and we're going to beat them all up, and then the good guys are going to win and we'll be the champions and in charge and what have you. It doesn't work like that. That's naive. We believe that it will be a mortal civil war for the white people of South Africa. We believe that we will experience unbelievable suffering one of the prophecies concerning the Civil War says that we will be wiped out to the extent that it's a phrase in Afrikaans, which is difficult to translate into English, but I'll do the best that I can, that the remainder, the remnant, is but a handful, just a handful, that is both little and small. That gives you some idea of how we see things transpiring, but we are going to stand and fight and die for what is good, and we are going to hold our own for the dignity of our wives and mothers and daughters and sisters and the people that we love dearly, for our culture, for what we have built over centuries, for what is good and what is true against barbarianism. We're not going to run away. We're going to stand and face it head on and let the price that we pay be what it must.
Now, most of the news, most of the video and pictures and accounts that we in America get of the genocide against the white South Africans, we kind of get the impression that it's being carried out by armed insurgents, by armed citizens. Is the government involved in this as well?
Yes, it is. Dr. Gregory Stanton of Genocide Watch of Washington, D.C., is the man who predicted the Rwanda genocide a year before it happened. In other words, he said, a year from now, the Rwanda genocide will begin. In other words, he is an internationally acknowledged expert in the field of assessing civil wars and the lead-up to civil war. And he has placed white South Africans at the final stage before absolute genocide on his scale. He has a particular scale. And he said when he visited South Africa in 2012 that it was clear to him that the murders of white people by black people with the guerrilla arms, the residual tens of hundreds of thousands of AK-47s and other arms and ammunition that had found their way into South Africa in the 80s and the early 90s, that the murders with these weapons were clearly orchestrated. He was implying that the government was involved in this almost low-intensity conflict in endeavoring to wear down the white population from the outside, from the periphery. And that's why so much of the murder has happened on the farms in rural areas, where by killing one man and perhaps raping his wife and cutting open his daughter's throat, as the guys are wont to do, and if anybody believes that perhaps that's a bit melodramatic and exaggerated, they're most welcome to do their own research, and they'll discover at once that it's not an exaggeration of the tendency or of the norm at all. And in killing just one family like that, they can erode white presence over perhaps 20,000 acres, for argument's sake. So it's a very, very good place to start. They've gone about it in the right way.
Simon, here in the United States, we are not experiencing genocide yet, though we expect our own civil war. And it will be a race war. But most white Americans are absolutely oblivious to the fact, and whenever we try to explain to them what we are certain is coming, that they look at us like we are aliens. Are white South Africans very cognizant, very attuned to the virus situation?
Some aren't. Those who are not yet jobless through affirmative action policies, who are earning good salaries and living in suburbs, who's perhaps one of whose relatives has been attacked or shot or something, but who haven't themselves experienced on an individual basis the trauma of some sort of an attack, blissfully believe that, well, if it carries on like this, maybe I'll be one of the lucky ones. So there are many liberals and non-liberals alike who haven't been affected, and therefore believe that things are okay. Yes, the value of our currency has plummeted through the floor. But that doesn't necessarily translate to an all-out civil war.
I'd like to thank you for joining us, and I urge everybody to pray for South Africa, and I urge everybody to support Sidelanders. I'm Winston Smith. Thank you for joining us tonight, folks. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.